Hello, everyone, and welcome to Full Time, where we take you around the world of soccer, locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. Full Time is presented by the Game Sports Podcast and powered by 91 Network. You're listening to Season 4, Episode 19 of Full Time. I'm your host, Daniel Scarpino, and with me is our co-host, Gaetano Gallo. Before we begin today's show, Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. With their two locations in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, you can download and access the Pizza Portal app so you can enjoy a delicious hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. Remind our listeners that recordings of Full Time occur weekly or bi-weekly, and uploads to all of our platforms for public viewing and listening occur weekly or bi-weekly as well. Folks, we are delighted to have you back here with us on Full Time, where we get to talk about the beautiful game. Gia, a very good morning to you, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Scarps. We already got the City game this morning at 7:30. Big win. Obviously, we'll talk about that later. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful day out. Got the Premier League on as we record. Perfect morning.
I would say so. And I'm in the same position as you, that there's a lot to be grateful for this morning. And that starts here and now with this show. In today's show, we are going to be talking about the Champions League, the Europa League, the Conference League, Europe's Big Five, the MLS, and local soccer. As always, if anyone would like to listen to our previous content, please check us out at Full Time on the Game Sports Podcast and 91 Network. And without further ado, Gaetano, and to everyone who has taken the time to tune in here today, let's kick off. We get to today's show going with discussions about the Champions League now that the semifinals have finished up. G, have the semifinals in the Champions League lived up to the hype for you?
Absolutely. I thought both ties were incredible for very different reasons. The results of the ties were pretty phenomenal as well. I would definitely say I was entertained, you know, to basically my limit with them. Yeah.
Yeah. I also was more than pleased. And we're going to start it out, G, by talking about PSG and Dortmund. And it was tough in some ways for PSG. It was glorious in other ways in the end for Dortmund, as they secure back-to-back 1-0 victories, claiming their spot in the Champions League final, and as a result, defeating PSG 2-0 on an aggregate score. Gee, we both called it, and here we are now talking about Dortmund reaching the Champions League final. Take it away, sir.
Yeah, closing on the storybook ending for Marco Reus's time at Borussia Dortmund. He officially announced that he won't be returning to the club next season. Still unsure whether he's actually going to continue playing or just retire. But, you know, to have your final game for your club that you've been with for God knows how long, you know, Champions League final at Wembley, a chance to finally, you know, win a major trophy with them. Couldn't have written a better story. And for PSG, it's just, you know, the same old story, really. Just can't get it over the line. Just, I don't even know if this, like, this has become like a mental block for them now. Like, I just don't think they have the mentality to kind of win these kind of tournaments.
Yeah, I'm with you there too, and we always say it all the time that at some point they're going to let themselves down one way or another, and to not even have not to say they didn't have a sniff at goal, but to not get a goal in the tie, I think is pretty bizarre given the quality that they have. So, yeah, Dortmund completely and totally deserved it. I hope that this storybook ending comes true, but PSG ultimately have let themselves down again. And in terms of retiring, stroke leaving, PSG's Kylian Mbappe officially has come out and put out a little video saying how grateful he is for the club and that he is moving on. So a lot of people moving in different directions, AG?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, that's so also weird for him to do. They still have a couple of domestic games left. Like, they've already won the league, obviously, but like, I think you could like wait those few more days. And it's also not like anybody like didn't know that he was leaving either. It's been very public. It's basically just been lacking that video. Kind of confirmed that he was leaving. So it's not that it like shocked anyone.
Exactly. It was a little bit strange with the timing, but I almost feel like they wanted to take the sting out of losing the semifinal in some way. But regardless, it is Dortmund who are through. And in terms of who they are going to play, it was down to either Real Madrid and Bayern Munich in the other semifinal. And after the first leg ended 2-2, it was Real Madrid who got the job done in the second leg, defeating Bayern by a score of 2-1, and as a result, 4-3 on aggregate. Madrid go back to yet another Champions League final And gee, there was some late goals, some controversy, managers expressing their opinions. This tie had quite a bit in it. If you could speak to it.
Yeah, this one gave me PTSD to 2022. Those are two very, 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 very late goals from Real Madrid to steal it from Bayern Munich. And also, just there's no disrespect to Hossolu, but it's wild watching a player who was like not great at Stoke City scoring goals to send Real Madrid to the Champions League final.
Wild.
Unbelievable story for him. Like, obviously very happy for him. That's an incredible career trajectory, but just not something we ever saw. But yeah, like, again, the kind of story of Bayern Munich's European season was, you know, individual errors, the team playing well, and then kind of one person just letting that system down for that 1 second and Real Madrid capitalizing. And we had said it before, like, you know, they kind of, not they got lucky with Arsenal, but, you know, they were able to kind of mitigate those couple of mistakes. We said, if they make these mistakes against Real Madrid, like, they're not going to have a chance to kind of make it back up. And that's kind of exactly what happened here.
Yeah, 100%. And we spoke about it on our show, to your point, that a, If Bayern Munich, make any mistakes, Real Madrid's going to be there to pounce, and sure enough, they were. But yeah, incredible story there about Joselu. Like, if you take a look at his, not just with Stoke, like, he's been everywhere, and then, you know, got to Madrid and the whole bit. So he goes from cold Tuesday rainy nights in Stoke to beautiful sunny Madrid, and now he's going to a Champions League final. And in terms of our picks, G, for these ones, we both went 1-for-2. As we both picked the Bayern tie incorrectly, but we will see a Dortmund Madrid final. And if you could, how good do you think that this final is going to be?
This final, I think, is going to be maybe a little more tactical, or a little less tactical, a little more chaos than the last few that we've seen. And again, that's just the way Dortmund play. I think they're going to, if they can kind of play their style of football, there's going to be a little less structure, a little less, you know, kind of control all around. But I expect to be super entertaining. I expect a bunch of goals from this one. I don't expect this one to be a 1-0 or 2-1. I don't know if we're going to do predictions yet, but I, like I said, I've just got this gut feeling, the Marco Reus thing. Just first off, gut feeling is Dortmund's going to win it.
Yeah, and that's my gut feeling too. We are going to have some predictions in a future show, thankfully. But we both kind of know where we're both going with this and what we want to happen, what we think's going to happen. But I also agree that this final is going to be maybe a little bit more hectic than the other ones that we've seen down the years. Maybe a little bit less tactical, or maybe as the match goes on, it could become more tactical, less tactical. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how things unfold there. But we do have a Dortmund-Madrid final, and all eyes will be on that come the end of the month, stroke early June. Shifting gears to the Europa League final now, those semifinals have also wrapped up, and the finalists in that competition have been determined as well. Gee, the first semifinal tie that we're going to look at is between Leverkusen and Roma. And after a relatively convincing first leg win for Bayer Leverkusen by a score of 2-0, the return leg was a draw, 2-2, and thus the tie becomes 4-2 in favor of Leverkusen. And it's Leverkusen's dream season that just continues on as they go now to the Europa League final. Your analysis, G.
So not only do they go to the Europa League final, they score in the 97th minute to keep the unbeaten streak alive. The 16th time this season that they've scored in stoppage time to secure a result. I'm, again, knocking on wood, but like, this is the greatest season in the history of football that we are watching. It's incredible to watch. And again, like, they didn't have to get that result. Like, they could have lost 2-1 and still gone through, and it would have been totally fine. But just Xabi Alonso's got that team, and that they're playing it, their mentality and the way they play is just that, like, they have to get a result. I can't see them not winning the Europa League at this point. And again, I'm knocking on wood this whole time.
Yeah, no kidding. It's I mean, you said it, and now the quote is kind of going worldwide. They just don't know how to lose. It's incredible. So the mere fact that they tied it 2-2 in the 97th minute, when I was looking at that on my phone, I was tracking the game through Twitter, I thought to myself, yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm absolutely not surprised. And they fully deserve to get there. And it all, in my opinion, it all comes back to that first leg and how good they were. But in the second leg, they did the business, more than enough business to get themselves through. So it will be Leverkusen going to the Europa League final. And in the other semifinal, it was Atalanta and Marseille. A closely contested one-to-one draw in the first leg setup was what was supposed to be an intense second leg, but it wasn't exactly that. Atalanta put forward an incredibly dominant performance, winning the second leg by a score of 3-0, and thus winning 4-1 on aggregate. Atalanta booked their place in the Europa League final as a result. Gee, it was not the second leg that most people expected, myself included. But what can you say here?
Yeah, that was, like I said, like not at all what we thought was going to happen. We had talked about Atalanta like kind of being known for their attacking football. We saw them put Liverpool through it at Anfield too, just a few weeks ago. Like we knew they were capable of it, just kind of not expecting that at all, considering how the first leg went. But it was a super impressive performance for them to kind of be able to turn that crank, you know, when their season mattered the most.
Yeah, absolutely. And I almost wonder, going into the final again, we're not doing a prediction on this show, but I almost wonder if they keep that sort of same philosophy, I can't see them deviating from it now, how much risk is going to be involved in that to get countered the other way by a team like Leverkusen with wing backs and you know, those types of players bombing forward. I think, you know, it could be problematic, but if it comes off for them, who knows, they could push Leverkusen all of the way. But what we can say in terms of our predictions, G, it was only the one that was picked correctly, and that was Leverkusen. At this point in the year, we have to say how good, of course, they've been. Is there any way that we can bet against them at this point, G?
No. There's just, and I mean, I say that now they're going to, again, knocking on wood, now they're going to lose a game. Like, I get it. But like, how can you not? How can you not bet against them?
Yeah. No, 100%. They've been in the driver's seat. Now I believe they've completed the longest winning streak in all of Europe. They overtook Benfica, and I think it's 49 games unbeaten, if my research did me correct.
Yeah, as long as they haven't played a game this morning, then yeah, 49.
Which is pretty wild. Well, not pretty wild. It is wild, but they fully deserve to be where they are at. And yeah, now we have a Leverkusen. And we have a Leverkusen Atalanta final, and we look forward to it just like the Champions League, just the same. And another competition in Europe in its third year of existence is the Conference League. The introduction of the competition gave teams just outside the traditional European places domestically the opportunity to compete for a trophy in Europe, whether teams obtained their place in the competition by finishing high enough in the table domestically where they play, or by winning a domestic cup competition. The winners of this competition 2 years ago was Roma under Jose Mourinho, and last year it was West Ham from the Premier League. And this year, the final will be contested between Olympiacos and Fiorentina. Gee, these are two, I would say, reputable clubs in Europe who have now, they have the opportunity to put a trophy into their cabinet. If you could, speak to what this final means to both of these teams.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last season, how great this competition is for giving these, you know, and no offense, some smaller teams across Europe a chance to win a European trophy. Yeah, this is going to be a super good final. Watching the highlights from the semifinals, Olympiacos were incredible. Aston Villa have been one of the better teams in the Premier League. They got crushed 6-2 on aggregate. Like, it was a very impressive performance from Olympiacos. Again, typically not a team you expect kind of big things in Europe out of. And then also Fiorentina have been great in Serie A, still kind of pushing for Europe. And like these very good teams that are going to meet in a final. Like, this is, you know, almost, I probably would say it's like on par with like the Europa League final in terms of quality all the way through. And I think that's just fantastic for like all like the clubs involved and for just the sport in general.
100%, man. I believe it was Daniel Podence, the lad that's on loan from Wolves. He had a sensational performance there in the semifinal tie for Olympiacos. So he certainly deserves to be there, as does Olympiacos, and as do their opponents, Fiorentina. So we look forward to that final just the same as the Europa League final and the Champions League. And I'm with you that now that these clubs have, more clubs, I should say, have opportunities to win a European trophy, the incentive for players to not just go maybe to the top teams, I think that's a good thing, because now there's lots of teams who can compete in Europe. And I think that bodes well for clubs, bodes well for players, and of course, it bodes well for fans. And all three of those European Cup finals will be highlighted in our upcoming shows right here on Full Time. This is Daniel Scarpino and Gaetano Gallo listening to Full Time on the Game Sports Podcast and 91 Network. A reminder that Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. You can download and access the Pizza Portal app for any of the two locations in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Have a delicious hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. It is now time to look at Europe's Big Five, ladies and gentlemen, and we are going to do just that by starting things off by looking at La Liga. Gaetano, it is now official. Real Madrid are the champions of Spain for the 35th time. There are still some games to play in La Liga, but Real Madrid can rest assured that the results won't matter any longer as they are the victors of the league. It was a relatively slow start, I would say, for Real Madrid in La Liga, and as by their standards anyways. And as the year went on, you kind of compare it to that of Girona, who came out lightning quick over the start of the campaign. But Madrid slowly chipped away at things, and they really turned it up here near the midway point in the season. Then obviously in the business end of the season, we now see them as champions. So your thoughts here on the champions of Spain, Real Madrid?
Yeah, I thought they were super impressive all year. Again, not that Girona wasn't a tough battle for them, but they gave them a very good run. Obviously, had the quality to kind of come through it. And not that Real Madrid lucked out, but nobody else really took advantage. Kind of like Barcelona, again, like it's not even if they started off, they were awful for most of the year. I've only really turned it on these last couple of months. Atletico Madrid never even really gave it a push. So really, once Girona fell off, it was Real Madrid's for the taking, and they, under Carlo Ancelotti, were never going to pass up that opportunity to turn it on and take it away. And then, yeah, their form kind of these last few months has been stupid. They're looking at five straight wins in the league, you know, plus what they've been doing in Europe. They've just been incredible. And it's weird to think that they lost, you know, a 40-goal scorer in Karim Benzema last summer, like, and got better. Like, that's just impressive all around from them.
Yeah, and it, you know, you want to talk about a team who's been there, done that, a manager who's been there, done that, and you figure things out, right? We talked about it so many times with Inter that, hey, sometimes you could lose a player, you find out different ways to play, and sometimes it actually comes off as being better, and that's sort of the nature of football. Sometimes it goes the other way for you, as we know, but in the end, it is Real Madrid, and they fully deserve to be where they are at because they've been the most consistent team, and the standings do show that. And barring anything drastic happening in the standings, the remaining top four spots will belong to Girona, Barcelona, and Atletico Madrid in no particular order. Fifth place should belong to Athletic Club, which will give them a spot in next year's Europa League. And in the final spot for Europe, which is the Conference League, it will be contested between Real Sociedad and Real Betis. As discussed in our last show as well, out there in France's Ligue 1, it is PSG who are the champions with just a couple of games left. Monaco looked quite set, I would say, to claim their place in the top three. Brest and Lille will have to battle it out for the third position, which will guarantee either of those teams a spot in next year's Champions League. Nice and Lens are going to fight to try and get into the European positions as well. G, do you see any teams outside of, let's say, the top six right now having a chance to get those five allotted European places in Ligue 1?
Looking at it right now, really only Lyon kind of stand out as a team outside of those spots, and also being mathematically close enough to actually get one of them. But they've been kind of on and off this year, so I'm not 100% certain they'll be able to pull it off.
Yeah, I don't have any particular hopes for that. I think what we see right now in sort of the top five-ish, top six, give or take, I think it's going to be there just about in any particular order, or apart, of course, from the champions PSG. As we know, they have already won the league. In Italy, Serie A, we know that Inter are champions with games to spare. Milan, Juventus, and Bologna all look poised to have a top four spot. Roma, Atalanta, and Lazio will battle things out to get into the remaining European positions. Gaetano, it has been announced that for next season's Champions League, Italy is one of the two leagues that will get an accredited Champions League spot that will go to whomever finishes in fifth place in the table. If you could, please speak to those teams just outside of the top four, because there will be seven teams in Italy who will get a place in one of the European competitions next season, and possibly Fiorentina as well if they win their cup final.
Yeah, so actually this weekend's huge for that specifically. Atalanta, who are in fifth, and Roma, who are in sixth, tied on points, only separated by goal difference, actually play each other this weekend. So, you know, you talk about a game that's, you know, going to decide your fate for next season. Like, that is it. And I think I'm going to go with whoever wins that game is going to be the one that plays in the Champions League. I think at this point in the season, that result will just be just huge for them. And yeah, like, and it's also like both those teams are still, well, Atlanta still has a cup final to play. Roma just crashing out of Europe. Like, they have kind of the pedigree to be playing in Europe. So I expect that the game this weekend to be hectic. I expect it to be super intense. And I'm going to, yeah, I'm going to stick with whatever team wins that is going to get that Champions League spot.
You know what, too? You almost have to tip your cap, I would say, to all of these teams in Italy for the mere fact that you damn near have half of the table who's going to be competing for a European place next season. So obviously something out in Italy, whether, you know, if they're doing the business domestically, like a team like Bologna, for example, or if you're like Atalanta or Fiorentina, who are getting into these cup finals, Roma really pushing it all the way pretty much in the Europa League, getting to a semifinal. Like, all these teams in Italy, they've been tremendous this season, would you say?
Absolutely. And, like, we always talk about the Premier League being, like, super deep and, like, you know, it's the top six, top eight, like, how great they are. But, like, Italy's really proven these last couple of years that, like, they are, like, nearly as deep as the Premier League in terms of quality, which is not something I would have said, like, a couple of years ago when Juve just kind of, like, ran Serie A and nobody did anything about it. Like, them, like, the Juve fall off has been the best thing that's happened to Italian football.
Yeah, because the competitiveness has just gone up tenfold, which has been great for viewership. And I think it's actually great for the league, to be honest, because you don't have the foregone conclusion of who's going to win it every year, which is absolutely fantastic. And another league that has an additional Champions League spot granted to them for next season is the Bundesliga in Germany. Gaetano, the top five sort of takes care of itself at this point with the champions Leverkusen, as we know, Bayern's in second, Stuttgart in third, Leipzig in fourth, and Dortmund is in fifth. That's pretty much solidified. The sixth and seventh position is, I would say, ridiculously contested. However, when we look at the Bundesliga table, if you could, please speak to just how tight and competitive the Bundesliga is, especially in these last couple of games here with European places on the line.
Yeah, and again, kind of the same situation. You have teams, you know, competing for these positions that are playing against each other in their final weeks here. Obviously, it's not as deep in terms of, like, just the sheer amount of teams, kind of just the way it's worked out mathematically here. But yeah, like, the fact that, you know, Hoffenheim in eighth place, like, with a week and a half to go in the season, is challenging for a European place is just, like, nuts. I mean, we're not used to this. This is... you know, we're so used to, like, it's like top four and then, like, the Yon Europa League spot. Like, that's just what we, like, grew up on. So now you're talking about, like, eighth or ninth place competing for Europe. And these teams, again, like Frankfurt, who actually had a phenomenal season, kind of fell off in these last little bits, but they were up there in the top two and three for a good long while of this season, still holding on to that sixth spot. I think they'll get it, just the way the math works. They're up 4 points right now. They only have two games left, so they should mathematically be good. We never say never, I know that, but yeah, it's that race is going to be interesting. And they also have kind of teams, like, I'm not gonna lie, I've never heard of FC Heidenheim before, like, before this season. They're challenging for Europa League spot. Like, that is insane.
Yes, and you know what, as much as we tip the cap to Italy City, yeah, we have to tip the cap to the Bundesliga in Germany. No more for foregone conclusions. It's very competitive. And again, for viewership, especially as a fan, and I know you're the same, that doesn't have a horse in the race, because I don't particularly care what happens in the Bundesliga. I love to see that the competitiveness is there. It just bodes so well for the footballing world. And everyone, for the most part anyways, unless you do have a horse in the race, absolutely loves to see it. And now it is over to the biggest and best title race in all of Europe. And of course, that is in the English Premier League. As of this morning, after their 4-0 win over Fulham, Manchester City go back to the top of the league with 85 points. Arsenal is second with 83 points, and Liverpool remain third with 78 points. Aston Villa continue to lock down fourth, as they're only going to require a little bit more to solidify a Champions League spot for next season. Gee, Arsenal are going to go tomorrow against Manchester United, and City, of course, were excellent this morning. If you can speak now to this title race, because we could very well be looking at this going down to the last day.
Yeah, just to start with City, because the result this morning was just huge. Josko Gvardiol turning into Ilkay Gundogan to end the season for us has been incredible. Five goals in his last seven games as a center back playing left back in his first season in the Premier League. 21 years old, by the way. Like, you want to talk about like going, like having a ridiculous ceiling? Like, this kid is going to be something special. But yeah, super good performance. Fulham away is not an easy game. Just handled the pressure perfectly. Phil Foden pushing again for player of the year. Another, you know, I'm like so close being able to say like title winning goal, and I really want to be able to say it because this has been, you know, his season. Super, super impressive. Obviously, Arsenal don't have the easiest game tomorrow. Is it at Old Trafford or is it the Emirates?
At Old Trafford.
That's we've seen them turn it up there for, you know, random games this year. If, you know, as a City fan, I don't want to ask them of anything. I don't expect anything from United. But, you know, if they could turn it on there one more time this year, that would be fantastic. And I also think it would be fantastic for the neutrals in terms of a good, entertaining game. But selfishly for the results, that would be great. What are your thoughts going into that game? Because that's not an easy one.
No, it's not. And I think it's going to tip one of two ways. Either it's going to be a case of Manchester United being Manchester United and turning up at Old Trafford and doing what they have to do, or it's going to be Manchester United how they've been this season and thinking, you know what, let's just try and focus on the FA Cup final. We have discontent with the manager, our back line's a mess, maybe Fernandez doesn't play, maybe Rashford doesn't play, and then they capitulate. I don't know which way it's going to go. I'm more leaning to the side that it's going to be Manchester United being Manchester United, and they're going to give us a difficult game, especially at being at Old Trafford. I would say if this was held at the Emirates, I would out and out say, you know what, Arsenal's going to go out and win. I'm not going to say that right now. I'm hopeful that they will, but I think it's going to be a tricky contest. It always seems to be every time that we go there. But, you know, to your point earlier, I mean, Arsenal lost at Fulham this year. Craven Cottage is a difficult place to go to. So the fact that City went there and were as dominant as they were, that's big. And again, we talked about the irony last show, both of our teams going for the title again, 2 years on the show, back-to-back years, both of our teams going for the title. And now it's almost like we're both relying on our rivals to try and, you know what I mean? Like, I have zero faith in Tottenham. I actually had more faith in Fulham to try and get something done here today. And, you know, now you're going to rely on United as much as maybe we don't want to admit it. And now I'm going to have to rely on Tottenham a little bit as much as I don't want to admit that either. The irony in all of this is just incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, like, at least you have like the little bit of faith, like, and a little bit of comfort in the fact that City have been awful at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. We have one goal and one win there, and it was this season in the FA Cup. So looks slightly better for you guys. Old Trafford hasn't been terrible to Arsenal over the years, but it's also not been great. But yeah, it's going to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I think more than the Bernabeu, more than the Camp Nou, more than the Allianz Arena, like that to me is like the scariest place for City to have to go, like across the continent, across the world, like just terrifies me.
And you know what, it's going to come down to it, and obviously easier said than done, but whoever's going to hold their nerve the best is probably going to win the title. So obviously in that case there, City's got to go to Tottenham, not going to be easy. Arsenal tomorrow morning have to go to Manchester United, not going to be easy there either. And whoever holds their nerve is going to be there, or they're just about at the end. But we said this at the very beginning of the season. Actually, it was you who said it before me. You said, Scarps, I could see this going down to the final match day this year because of how tight it could be. And I mean, if all things kind of stay the same and stay true, you're absolutely right. So I do hope that happens. Obviously, we're both hoping for our teams to get over the line. But just like everything in Europe's Big Five, we're going to keep a very close eye on this. And in our next show on Full Time, as we're going to highlight here at the end of the show, we're going to have a huge final day preview, which will go the final day of the season goes May 19th. And in the relegation battle in the Premier League, it is basically now or never. As we know, Sheffield United have been relegated already, and they cannot accumulate enough points to stay in the Premier League next season. Burnley, Luton Town, and Nottingham Forest will all battle it out to see who will be safe, but only one is going to do it. G, Games right now, as we record, are taking place. Tomorrow, there's going to be some other games. And that's pretty much, I would say for the most part, going to give us everything that we need to know regarding this relegation fight. How do you see it ending?
Yeah, so with about two and a half minutes in stoppage time left, it looks like Burnley are getting relegated, losing 2-1 to Tottenham right now. Obviously, if they don't get at least the point, they are done. Luton still have a little bit of hope, even though they are losing right now to West Ham, just because they are still relying on Nottingham Forest playing tomorrow to see how that result turns out. It's not looking great for either of them. Forest is playing Chelsea, which could honestly go either way at this point, because Chelsea have just been horrific like this year. Like they've been horrific in patches, I should say, because there are periods they played great. But, you know, I look at the game and I go, yeah, like Forest could absolutely get a result off Chelsea, or Chelsea could, you know, turn it up and slap them. And we're looking at the final day, a battle between Luton and Forest. But yeah, looks like it's Burnley's almost for sure going down. Luton, Nottingham Forest is going to go down to the last day. But it's heartbreaking to see that for these teams, especially like, not that they went down like too early here, but like, at least you want to push it that last day. You want to kind of have that hope going into last day that you can get your result. I am optimistic for Burnley. We've talked about it before, the fact they're sticking with Vinny Kompany in the championship. You know, they're kind of building the team the right way. Probably going to be back, not next season, the season after, because they were just phenomenal in the championship last season. And I expect kind of a similar result from them. It's considering how poor some of these teams were, it is amazing that they lasted this long. With these fights, we talked about it, you know, maybe what, month and a half into the season, that like, oh, like these teams might as well write them off already. They pushed it pretty far, considering what we expected. Luton's, I'm gonna miss the atmosphere at Luton, except not going to it. City playing there was terrible. I loved watching other games there because it was a really fun atmosphere. But outside of that, pretty fine lines, you know, for these last couple of games here in the bottom of the table.
Yeah, and you know what? There's so many talking points, I would say, with the bottom of the table. You take a look at Sheffield. Yes, they tried to stick in as long as they could, but from a goals conceded point of view, worst season ever in the history of the Premier League. With
101.
So not the worst team, because I think Derby still holds that record pretty comfortably. Because I think
12 points they got. You
know, 7 or 9 points or something.
No, so Derby got 12. This Sheffield United team got 16, which is, you know,
yeah,
they got two more results.
So it's in that case, it hasn't been great for Sheffield for the amount that they've conceded. But Burnley, yeah, they've stuck it in as best as they could. They probably will come back up very, very, very soon, assuming that they do get relegated. And then in the case of Nottingham Forest and Luton Town, it could very well go down to that final match day, which would be pretty wild to see. But again, for all intents and purposes, we're seeing a pretty great relegation fight here. And that's, you said the word heartbreaking. I think that's a really good one. I remember when Scott and I used to do this show, he was there when Newcastle, do you remember when they got relegated?
Oh my, that was what, like 2016-ish?
Something like that, yeah. And he was at the stadium that day and he said, he goes, I've never seen grown men openly weeping. He's like, you know, it was just the most incredible thing that I've ever seen, obviously in a sad way. But yeah, this means a lot to these clubs. And it's, in some ways, it can be life-changing coming up to the Premier League. I think Luton Town could attest to that this year. But it means a lot. For the ones that do go down, it's heartbreaking. And then for the ones that come up, as we know, it's absolute elation. I think it's Leicester and Ipswich Town so far that have been promoted. And there's going to be one other team coming back up to the Premier League this year. So, yeah, the relegation battle, sometimes is, enticing and entertaining as the battle for the title, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it's, like I said, it's a different type of entertaining. It's not, you know, it's not a battle for glory and trophy. It's, you know, and they call it survival, like Premier League survival, but it really is. And, you know, if you kind of strip your view back and like look at it as like business, it's, you know, a business trying to continue to operate, which is a really weird way to look at it. But like it really is like so equally important, as the top of the table.
No, absolutely. And we keep a close eye on that just as we do the top of the table. So our next show, Full Time, we'll have even more information. Again, after tomorrow, we'll have a very clear idea of what's happening down at the bottom. Shifting gears to a league that is a little or a lot closer to home, and that is the MLS. G, the league is about one third of the way through, and some of the football that we've been able to see, as we say every year, is just steadily improving. And I've loved some of the games that I've been able to see on weekends. There's going to be some decent ones tonight as well. Your thoughts on the MLS so far, sir?
We have to start with the Messi six goal contribution game, because that was just like one of the most insane things you're ever going to see. He's still so good. It's just ridiculously not fair. He could still be doing the job in Europe, by the way. If any team in Europe, like if he wanted to go back to Europe, he would be fine. He would be totally fine. Yes. But yeah, it was a goal and five assists, you know, rolling back the years, assisting Suarez, like just incredible. Obviously, Inter Miami, top of the table in the East. A couple of stumbles, but they've looked really good. We're kind of questioned, like, oh, you know, is everything, are all the puzzle pieces going to kind of fit with them? You know, a lot of older players kind of a little over the hill. You know, Suarez isn't what he used to be. Busquets isn't what he used to be. Ooh, Jordi Alba isn't what he used to be. But they've kind of, they've adapted. They don't look the exact same, but they still have that quality, obviously. And they've all adapted really well. Yes, they've looked great. Cincinnati also challenging them up the top of the table. Not something I expected. Kind of a nice turnaround from them. And then out west, Salt Lake running the table there. Again, not what I expected at all. Very like kind of polar opposites. If you look at like Salt Lake and Inter Miami's got like the star power and the kind of individual star power, whereas Real Salt Lake, not a ton of like individual star power, but that team unit is just, they've been incredible so far.
Absolutely. And some, I mean, obviously we focus on the East because as we're going to talk about here in a second, our beloved TFC, but you know, in the West, I've loved some of the games that I've seen there, and they've actually been the most entertaining of the ones that I've seen. Just this year, it just seems so much more open, more end to end, and just so much more entertaining. But again, that's the steady improvement with the league. And to your point about Inter Miami and Messi, absolutely incredible. And yes, of course, Messi could still play in Europe. You just don't go from dominating a World Cup and being as good as you are to not being able to play in Europe. He's a sensation, and Inter Miami looked poised to really do it this season, of course, now that they got the majority, if not all the pieces in place. And Gigi, speaking of our beloved TFC, that is a team 100% who has drastically improved this season so far. Again, lots of season left to play, but right now things look steady for them, much better than last season, can't we say?
Absolutely. And, you know, I joked one of the first times this season that we talked about MLS, I said, you know, if they play 500 soccer, you know, win one, lose one all season, like that would still, we would take it. That would be such an improvement on the last couple of years. We're getting way better than 500 soccer so far. John Herdman's got, like, he changed that locker room culture so quickly. You know, the level of disinterest, and I understood it from Bernardeschi and Insigne. You know, under Bob Bradley, there was some, they just didn't look like they wanted to play in Toronto. Basically were just there to, you know, collect their paycheck and then hopefully move either back to Italy or to, you know, the Middle East where someone was going to pay them. Where now, you know, Bernardeschi looks like he's ready to die for the club. His last few performances have been ridiculous. Even though he hadn't scored up until last weekend, like he was just putting in like 8 out of 10 performances, and also playing as a wing back, something he hasn't really done in his career. He's been mostly an attacking midfielder, like, or a straight up winger. But John Herdman's just got them fully committed to the club again, which is great. I always joke it's nice seeing diminutive Italians score for TFC. It's something, you know, we're very used to. We missed very much. So that's been great. But yeah, the team just looks really solid. Hopefully, I think they still have a few more weeks until the kind of signing your trade deadline, whatever it is. So hopefully, you know, MLSC wants to pony up a little bit of money, give us a little bit of a boost here. Third in the table at this point of the season is not too bad at all. I'm still terrified of Miami. It's Lionel Messi. They're gonna win everything. But I really think you know, TFC have a decent shot of making a good run this year.
I do too. And, you know, it wasn't actually announced. This was just sort of my footballing brain going towards it. I said when Herdman got appointed, I see this sort of three-year plan. Year one to stabilize, year two to get the pieces in, year three to compete and be there. I would say that he's definitely stabilized and they're already competing. So they've kind of like bypassed step two, hopefully by the trade deadline, to your point, they get some other pieces in. But they could be maybe on step three as early as the end of this season or possibly next season. So maybe that three-year plan that I had in my head, maybe it's going to be pushed along. So TFC, I would say, very good to get him in. You said it last season that you would take a managerial change at basically any point, and I agreed 100%. And got the right man in. So hopefully things continue to trend in the direction that they are going, because TFC is having a much, much improved season. And as is the case, of course, with Europe's Big Five, as that gets ready to wind down, it will be the MLS that ramps up. So do stay tuned here on Full Time for all future updates regarding the MLS. And now it is time for a local soccer update. All eyes are now on the high school soccer league play once again, as we are going into the business end of the season with just one week remaining in the regular season. Each team is looking to close out their seasons as high up the table as they possibly can. Each team has anywhere between one and two games remaining in their schedules. Junior teams have one less game. Senior teams have one more game. But an exciting announcement here, Gaetano, and that is starting this upcoming week. High school soccer games will be live streamed and uploaded to YouTube via Sioux Sports TV, who have recently signed on with Rogers TV in partnership back in the wintertime. Gee, if you could, please speak to this amazing opportunity for our local high school soccer league to be showcased and streamed, because this has never happened before in the history of high school soccer. We have our other sports that are streamed, the likes of football, basketball, hockey, but now soccer is getting into the mix too, and it's basically right in time for playoffs. So if you could speak to the importance of this and how cool this is, not just for our players, our schools, but also for our community at large.
Yeah, they couldn't have timed this much better, right in time for their playoffs. And yeah, it's huge. We talked about the tournaments that these kids were going on as massive opportunities, which obviously they are, but to kind of be, you know, more publicly, you know, shown and be able to kind of have another platform to, you know, show how good these kids are. It's huge for them. I wish they would have had like something like this when I was playing. Like that would have been awesome. And yeah, and again, like we said, like sometimes like this is kind of the highest level these kids are going to play. Not everyone goes on to play anything else, but be able to say like, hey, like, you know, my high school soccer team. I'm editing this out, by the way. For these kids to be able to say, like, my high school soccer games were streamed and were seen by, you know, a couple hundred, maybe, you know, even a couple thousand people by a final, depending, you know, who's playing, like, that's like huge for them. You know, that's like more views than like Bitter Rivals podcast says. Like, that's going to be a huge opportunity for these kids. And good on the, like, the high schools and for Roger for sorting this out, because that's, again, like, not something that we've ever really seen for high school soccer. So props to everyone involved, and good luck to all the kids.
Oh, 100%. And to that point, this is the last week of regular season play. And once more, each team has anywhere between one and two games left. And by Friday, that is the final match day of league play. And then the following week, playoffs start. And in one case, playoffs start and end. So junior girls will start and finish the following week. And everyone's going to have their semifinals and finals that are upcoming as well. So definitely in the business end of the season, and right here on Full Time, you can get all of your local soccer updates, because again, as much as we talk about local, international, regional, the whole bit, it always starts with local football, and that's where we all started. So we always got to go back to our roots. This is Daniel Scarpino and Gaetano Gallo, and you are listening to Full Time on the GameSource Podcast and 91 Network. A reminder that Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. You can download and access the pizza portal app for any of the two locations in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Have a delicious hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Full Time. As we round out today's show, we want to thank you all for spending a little bit of time with us to talk about the sport that connects us all. G, well done today, sir.
Thank you very much. You as well. Just want to point out that Burnley have now been officially relegated. Their game has ended. So pour one out for Vince and company and the boys. But other than that, a very upbeat show for us. Well done, Scarps.
Thank you very much, and I hope you have a great day, my friend. And a reminder, of course, to all of our listeners that the next episode of Full Time will be recorded the week of May 13th, 2024. And in that show, we will discuss Europe's Big Five with a huge final match day preview in the Premier League. We will preview the Europa League final, the FA Cup final, and of course, we will talk a little bit more local soccer. As always, we will keep everyone in the loop for all of the happenings in the world of football. For weekly content, make sure to hit like, follow, and subscribe to all platforms of both the Game Sports Podcast and 91 Network on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Podbean. For Gaetano Gallo, my name is Daniel Scarpino, and thank you for tuning in to Full Time. We look forward to seeing you at kickoff next time back here on the Game Sports Podcast and 91 Network. Best always.
For these kids to be able to say, like, my high school soccer games were streamed and were seen by, you know, a couple hundred, maybe, you know, even a couple thousand people by a final, depending, you know, who's playing, like, that's like huge for them. You know, that's like more views than like Bitter Rivals podcast says. Like, that's going to be a huge opportunity for these kids. And good on the, like, the high schools and for Roger for sorting this out, because that's, again, like, not something that we've ever really seen for high school soccer. So props to everyone involved, and good luck to all the kids.
Oh, 100%. And to that point, this is the last week of regular season play. And once more, each team has anywhere between one and two games left. And by Friday, that is the final match day of league play. And then the following week, playoffs start. And in one case, playoffs start and end. So junior girls will start and finish the following week. And everyone's going to have their semifinals and finals that are upcoming as well. So definitely in the business end of the season. And right here on Full Time, you can get all of your local soccer updates. Because again, as much as we talk about local, international, regional, the whole bit, it always starts with local football, and that's where we all started. So we always got to go back to our roots. This is Daniel Scarpino and Gaetano Gallo, and you are listening to Full Time on the Game Source Podcast and 91 Network. A reminder that Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. You can download and access the Pizza Portal app for any of the two locations in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Have a delicious hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Full Time. As we round out today's show, we want to thank you all for spending a little bit of time with us to talk about the sport that connects us all. G, well done today, sir.
Thank you very much. You as well. Just want to point out that Burnley have now been officially relegated. Their game has ended. So pour one out for Vince and company and the boys. But other than that, a very upbeat show for us. Well done, Scarps.
Thank you very much. And I hope you have a great day, my friend. And a reminder, of course, to all of our listeners that the next episode of Full Time will be recorded the week of May 13th, 2024. And in that show, we will discuss Europe's Big Five with a huge final match day preview in the Premier League. We will preview the Europa League final, the FA Cup final, and of course, we will talk a little bit more local soccer. As always, we will keep everyone in the loop for all of the happenings in the world of football. For weekly content, make sure to hit like, follow, and subscribe to all platforms of both the Game Sports Podcast and 91 Network on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Podbean. For Gaetano Gallo, my name is Daniel Scarpino, and thank you for tuning in to Full Time. We look forward to seeing you at kickoff next time back here on the Game Sports Podcast and 91 Network. Best always.